You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. Brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the world's finest bookmaker, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary. To celebrate the launch of Nick Luck Daily, Fitzdares have a special sign-up offer that will double your winnings on your first bet up to a £50 stake. Just go to www.fitzdares.com/luck to sign up. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the racing world every weekday. It is Monday, September the 28th. It's a lovely morning here in TW11 and, in normal circumstances, a lovely week ahead. Racing-wise, we've got two major questions to ask. First is, how do we solve horse racing's funding issues? And the second, who's going to win the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe? The second question, rather easier to answer, but we'll still have a go at the first, and certainly racing's chiefs are still having a go, as evidenced by the efforts of Anna Marie Phelps, the chair of the British Horse Racing Authority, and her chief executive, Nick Rust, on the horse racing channels yesterday, Sky Sports Racing and Racing TV, respectively. And we'll discuss levy reform and the relationship between racing and betting later in the programme, particularly in light of news this morning that William Hill, the renowned bookmaker, are set to be in advanced discussions with US casino giant Caesars Entertainment over a proposed £2.9 billion takeover. So everyone's got a view on the relationship between horse racing and betting at the moment in this funding crisis. And there will be plenty of people who'd like to take you back to the 1950s, to a pari mutuel tote monopoly, which, of course, to all intents and purposes, still exists across the channel in France as we build towards Arc Weekend. And it's not inconceivable that, given that Enable is going for her third Arc in 4 years, that her stable companion Stradivarius is one of those British-trained horses that ends up being an absolutely gargantuan price on the French tote. Enjoy if you're one of those lucky enough to be going over to France this weekend. The man who's picked up the ride on the Superstay Stradivarius is Olivier Pellier. That's a plum spare ride for him, going for his fifth victory in the race, with Dettori, of course, riding Enable. And I'll be talking to Olivier in a few moments' time about how excited he is to pick up this mount. But first of all, Lydia Hislop's with me on the Monday of Arc Week. Lydia, as things stand right now, 6 days out, how do you see things shaping up?
Well, it's going to be superb, whatever happens. But if you're an Enable fan, you're going to have to be concerned about that rain front that is coming towards Paris at the moment and how much rain that is going to deliver. Because this time last year, when Enable was defeated by Waldgeist, one of the reasons given was the ground holding her back, whether or not you think that was the primary reason. I happen to think it was the way in which the race developed, where you had one very serious horse, as we've seen amply this season, Gayath, heading out in front, being closely attended by another very serious horse, as we've also seen underlined in red, Magical, which meant that Frankie Dettori couldn't ignore them at all and couldn't control the race as he has done in the past on Enable and also in many races at Longchamp. And I'm afraid for Frankie Dettori and for Enable fans, they're facing the same scenario again this time around.
And they're also facing a scenario that could and might well include five horses trained by Aidan O'Brien. Of course, Love is one of them, but the others are all credentialed. The Grand Prix de Paris winner Mogul, the Irish Derby winner Sovereign, the Derby winner Serpentine, and the Judmont International winner Japan.
That's partly what I was referring to. So you've got a couple of horses there in Sovereign and Serpentine who are strong stayers at the trip and well able to go for the front and are good enough not to be ignored by anybody. And crucially, you've got a first wave and a second wave potentially there, haven't you? And I think that is why I feel the control of the race is not in the hands of Frankie Dettori.
It is going to be a race that requires incredible guile and experience in the saddle in order to win, unless your horse happens to be pounds superior to the rest of the field, which seems unlikely. With that in mind, and with it perhaps turning into a real test of stamina, to what extent is Stradivarius' chance enhanced?
Well, I think it is. And also because I suspect that he's not running around with the target on the back that he would be if he was running in a cup race, is he? You know, he is not the one to beat. There are several horses to be beaten in this scenario. And I thought he ran really well against Anthony Van Dyke. And this kind of setup, as you've already suggested, is going to suit him ideally. It's going to play to his strengths and the rain. You know, whereas they would have been concerned about that, I think, prior to Royal Ascot, after a 10-length defeat of Neyef Road in the Gold Cup, they're not.
And he will be ridden by Olivier Pellier, who will equal Frankie Dettori with 5 wins in the arc. If he is to win it, I've been speaking to him this morning, and I began by asking him when he found out that he'd got the ride.
I got the ride at noon, early in the afternoon. So then my agent Shippy, before he called me, and then after I called, John just make like 100% to get the ride.
And were you surprised, or did you have a suspicion that you'd be in the frame?
No, because first Frankie asked to me if I'm available. I say yes for the moment. And then after I put my shippy ask to join, I'm not available. So then with the COVID, it's very hard for the jockey to come or something like that. We never know. And then for the big race, I don't know exactly what's happened in England, if the jockey travel or not. So then it's better to ask them the first.
Okay, so you've seen this horse in pretty much all of his runs. Everyone knows everything about Stradivarius, but you saw him at close quarters when he finished second in the Prefoy, his trial for the Arc. What did you think of that run?
He went pretty well, and he's a lovely horse. He's very, very hard, and he win many times. A lot of run. He went to win an Ascot, Goodwood, York. So you know, when you have the horse like that, you know, he don't run like for 1 year. When he start like a long time ago, he's already is the winner for Group One, and everybody and all the fans know him. He's like Sam, you know, when you see it. But him is the last time he ran pretty well, and at Longchamp he ran well, and he's a consistent horse.
He's an extremely consistent horse. He's also an extremely high-class horse. Just in terms of how you would approach a race like this on a horse who stays extremely well, how do you think you might approach it?
I think he's doing well, and is for this, not the distance, but the ground he'll be fine because he ran for all the week, so then you have a lot of surprise. So then last time, I think, you know, is the first time he see how is the ground, how he track, is a good experience for him, because now he knows the track.
He knows the track. You know the track extremely well. You've won the race 4 times. Of those 4 victories in the Arc, Olivier, which one stands out to you as being the most special?
I think all these is great because is all the winner is different. One in front, and after last, and my last win with Solemia is like amazing because I don't think I come to win. So then, you know, you need to continue very confident. And then when the Japanese take the lead and he hang a little bit, I continue and I say to the public and to the journalist, the radio, I said, be careful because the rain is a lot of rain. Maybe you don't know the track is different, so you need be careful on the track. So then after when I come back and just beat Orfev, this is the emotion is wonderful.
That was a remarkably dramatic performance when Solemia got the better of Orfev. Just as regards riding a stayer in this race, I want to go back to that because I'd forgotten until I read this morning that you'd ridden Westerner in the Arc, and he was a horse, obviously, who got an awful lot further, but had the class for a mile and a half.
Yeah, and then also Westerner win the World Cup at York.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's great. It's like the similar, and the horse is always, you know, a little bit king, and he wants to get his gallops. So then I think Stradivarius is different class. I think he's much better, and he run many times, and he win all the group. And you know, he's the class horse. Only the distance, but you know, on heavy ground, I think a lot of change. And now we take experience. So then, last time I think the race and a mile and a half is a big help for him. It's not because you run 4,000 meters and 3,200, but you know, is a massive, is nice horse when you run at Newmarket like a mile and a half, you finish third. But you know, he's galloper horse.
So you think he's a better horse than Westerner?
Oh yes, 100%. You cannot compare. You know, Westerner is like he's a champion. He's like a, you know, he's like a very good for long distance. But Stradivarius have a lot of experience, a lot of run. And when you see the list, when you see like a win, won everywhere, and he fight always well, and he's strong, and he's not like a sprinter horse, and he's just a galloper. So I think I'm very happy to ride him, because when you see the horse like that, yeah, you say, wow, this is a Stradivarius. He's a really good horse. Of course, the Arc, you have a lot of good horses, but it's very interesting to run the Arc.
And just try and explain for, you know, everyone knows what a big race the Arc is all across the world. You know, it's the most prestigious turf race in global horse racing. But for a Frenchman to have won five Arcs, which he will have done if Stradivarius wins on Sunday, what would that mean to you?
If Stradivarius win the Arc, everybody ring me after. The people know I ride Stradivarius. He say, yes, you come for the fifth Arc, because he say, Frankie have a fifth, five wins. So they say, okay, I have four, and say, you can beat him. And you know, it's very exciting for the horse and for myself too.
Olivier Pellier, and you have to be confident, Lydia, obviously, if you're going into a race like this. There's no point thinking you can't win it, but the fact that he says, no doubt, he's a much better horse than Westerner, aboard whom he finished second in an Arc, does make you believe it's a realistic possibility.
I mean, I know you haven't either, but never at any stage have I felt that this is an unrealistic idea. And given the way the race is shaping up, it's looking more and more logical all the time. And why the hell not? Why wouldn't you have a go? I've always been in great admiration of those people who decide to play racing in that very sporting way. And clearly, you know, you have to be comfortably off enough to be able to do that. I get that. But still, it's great when you see people rolling the dice. And Bjørn Nielsen has done that with Stradivarius all the way through his career, wanted to make him one of the great staying names ever. And I think he has achieved that. And now the horse can only augment his reputation by running in the Arc. And when you compare him with Westerner, who won the Gold Cup when it was run at York and put up a very good performance. And then obviously his career best was his second to Hurricane run in the 2005 Arc. And you compare those two horses, and you agree, I would certainly agree, wouldn't you, with Olivier Pellier, that Stradivarius is a better horse than that?
Definitely. I think he's got more game, he's got more gears, he's got just more class. I was very interested in listening to Robert Havlin earlier in the year, talking to Beyond Racing TV, and he said the bit of genius with this horse was running him in the Coronation Cup over a mile and a half at Newmarket. He said it really sharpened him. And he said he's worked like a different horse ever since. With that in mind, that could be the key to why he might run a nice race in the Arc.
Well, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because I thought he emerged from the Coronation Cup at Newmarket as the second best horse in the race, really, on the day. I felt that he was ridden to try and actually take part in the race, and he got caught for a second late. He then has put up two really peerless performances, but in different types of races, in the Gold Cup and then in the Goodwood Cup, where he had to get himself out of trouble in a less pacey scenario than they were perhaps anticipating. He's always looked like a complete racehorse, but there has been a certain edge about him this time around, where he does seem to have been able to deal with easily with whatever scenario he's faced. I feel that he's always had that note to his ability, but it's sort of been turned up to 11 this season.
So the Arc, of course, this Sunday, and we can't wait to watch what could be a race for the ages. And I'm just hoping they don't get so much rain that it just turns it into the wacky races. But the cast list is an exceptional one. So that's the first question in part answered. The second question, how do we solve racing's financial woes?
First of all, racing needs to establish make the case for why they need more money. And I think that that can be that that is achievable. And those people who have spoken about it to you this week, John Gosden would have been one, wouldn't he? And
Definitely.
Rafe Beckett another. You know, they are very well placed to make that case, I think. The next case is more difficult and does not, to my understanding, play to their specific expertise, and that is how you get that money. And that's where you move to more administrative people in racing who have a great understanding of what is required there. But it basically boils down to you're going to be getting asking for more money from one of three sources. One, government, by reducing tax. Two, bookmakers, by paying more from their profits. Or three, punters, by increasing deductions or lowering their returns without anything touching the sides of bookmakers and government on the way.
And as regards an actual number of what the fair return to the sport is, that is something it's been very difficult to get an answer to. I mean, I've asked that question to a number of people. What do you think a fair return from, say, the betting industry is? And how do you go about affecting that? And I can't work out whether the racing's leaders are being, you know, strategically canny here or whether they simply aren't quite sure.
Well, I do know that they need to be speaking with one voice. And I the amount of times that people say this in horse racing, it's just, you know, it becomes absurd to a point, really. And I'm yet to be convinced that that is actually is what is happening. And if these conversations are splintered, if you have the established way of communicating with government being undermined or supplemented by a different group approaching and saying the same or different things, then that's just it's just not helpful in any kind of way. And I would urge people against doing that. I suppose you make the case whereby you're looking at how the sport functions and you're really wanting it to be able to maintain its position, I think, as a global leader, and you're also looking for it to maintain its position particularly within Europe, because that is the group of horses that you are your reputation derives from, and which France's reputation derives from, and Ireland's as well, and they would be the two other primary powers within Europe. And so you'd be wanting to make sure that you can make the case that Britain is at least on parity with those two nations in terms of being able to structure its racing in a way that keeps Britain as a competitor with those two races, but nations.
Let's talk briefly about the William Hill takeover. They're now in advanced talks, apparently, with Caesars Entertainment, a US casino giant, over a proposed $2.9 billion takeover. And that was after they'd already been approached by private equity firm Apollo Global Management.
Yeah, I mean, there was even mention on the Today programme on Radio 4 Today of people whispering that there's going to be another company coming in over the top of Caesars Entertainment and trying to woo William Hill. I don't know anything about that. I'm just repeating what I heard on the radio. It's not surprising, is it? You know, this was very fertile territory, America and other countries where sports betting was not legal, essentially. And I know that there were ways in some cases around this, but it was always going to be fertile territory for well-established companies that bet on sports elsewhere in the world once regulation was loosened to be able to step in. And clearly you can logically understand why Caesars Entertainment realized that companies such as William Hill have a great deal of expertise in this area and can help attack that market.
Just before we move on, I did want to talk about the news that came out of Nick Rust's interview yesterday that there were at least anecdotal reports, and perhaps in one or two cases slightly more than that, of significant cases of COVID-19 in Lambourne and Newmarket.
There is an element of self-responsibility here. We're all responsible for ensuring that our sport carries on. The one thing that this sport cannot risk is that racing behind closed doors, as it's termed, in any way is stopped or paused, that we are at least getting income, you know, from punters via the bookmakers and the levy. So, you know, that has to continue. So everybody needs to exercise common sense and caution and restraint in this area and be supported to do so as well, which is obviously the other thing. You know, lots of people need to go to work, and 10 days of self-isolation is an issue. And in that scenario, there are government schemes able to help, and your employer as well should be able to give you advice in that area.
Equine aftercare is certainly no exception, and in the lead up to the Arc de Triomphe this weekend, French Racing is trying to promote Au-delà des Pistes, their aftercare charity, which has suffered significantly this year, as I've been finding out with Godolphin's French Racing manager, Lisa Jane Graffard.
No, of course, it's absolutely the same in France. You know, a lot of our money comes from private donations. So, you know, it's a lot harder to ask people to make donations in a year like this, where they've got a lot of other causes to support and even keep their own businesses running. All our events have been cancelled as well. So it was a year when we needed to do a big fundraising push anyway. So this is really our opportunity to do it for the Arc weekend.
And the Arc has the eyes of the thoroughbred racing world on it this weekend. For all that, there aren't going to be quite as many people there, or there's going to be hardly any people there, there could be a massive international audience watching. So this still represents a good opportunity to you to raise awareness.
Absolutely, because raising awareness is so important to a wider public, to every audience that there is out there. We want people to know that we look after our racehorses once their careers are over. We find the best possible homes for them. We take care of horses no matter what their situation. That's really the goal of Au-delà des Pistes in partnership with France Galop, is to take care of every single horse that we're asked to take care of. So this is a really good opportunity to spread that message, to show people what we're doing in France, and also to highlight the fact that in a difficult year, there is a huge demand on our services to take care of these horses. You know, there will unfortunately be a lot of people who, for whatever reason, maybe because they can't, are unable to find the right home for them to really see their aftercare through. So we need to be there for them, and we need the funds to do that.
So do you have a goal this week? Do you have a target in mind for the Arc Promise?
No, we don't have a target in mind. You know, any support would be hugely welcome. You know, the charity, as I said, it relies on voluntary donations. This is a voluntary operation, the Arc Promise. So it would really, anything we get will be hugely appreciated and will make a very big difference. It will keep the charity going for a bit longer. It will help look after more horses. So anything, any pledge will be greatly accepted.
And just to give a bit of context, that there are a huge amount of racecourses in France, you know, north of 200 racecourses, and the horse population is absolutely massive. So you've got to have eyes on this all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, but it's the same problem anywhere. You know, I think we have a huge responsibility to the horses that we breed. From the moment of conception to the minute, to the end of their lives, really, it's part of our responsibility in the racing industry is to show that we take care of them for their life. That's why through Godolphin we call it lifetime care, because it really is lifetime care. And you know, we have a big horse population in France. There's a very large population of riding horses. There's a very large population of trotting horses. So for sport horse and leisure horses, there's the offer is bigger than the demand at the moment. And what we're really trying to encourage is that the demand for thoroughbreds coming out of training increases. And I think we're having a good impact on that. It seems to be positive. But unfortunately, there are a lot of horses who won't be suitable for all activities, and they need extra special lifetime care. You know, they will have ongoing pathologies throughout their lives that need special veterinary care, that needs, you know, someone who has the facilities to take them on and look after them. And those people sometimes need help and support from the racing industry.
It's going to be a very busy weekend for Godolphin. Of course it is in France for Arc Weekend. I'm guessing Earthlight's the horse that you're most looking forward to, the real star in the Royal Blue Silks in the Prix de la Forêt. How's he getting on?
Earthlight's in great form. It's hugely exciting. Arc Weekend really is the big weekend of the year in France. It's something we all look forward to. And to be represented and to have runners is a huge thrill for Godolphin. Earthlight is a horse that has, you know, one defeat to his name, and people seem to have forgotten what a fantastic horse he was at too. And I hope that this will be his chance to really show people what a superstar he is. He's a lovely horse with a great temperament, fantastic turn of foot. And we're very excited about seeing him run in the foray on Sunday.
He was very impressive on his comeback run last time at Longchamp. It was a race that he was entitled to win, but he did it nicely. Does André Favre feel he's moved forward from that?
From what I understand, yes, André feels he has moved forward from that. You know, he had a good blow after that race last time, and despite that, he did it in a very fast time. So, you know, it really is all systems go for Sunday.
And are you looking to round out the season internationally with him after Sunday, if all goes well?
So far, no target has been set after the foray, but it's not impossible that he would have another race. That will obviously be a decision that's taken after Sunday. André will see how he is. But, you know, we're really just focusing everything on the foray at the moment.
And Half Light looks an interesting supplementary for the Sun Chariot this weekend at Newmarket.
Yes, that's another really exciting one, because she's a filly that has just done absolutely nothing wrong. She's got this amazing temperament, takes every race in her stride, moves forward every time. You know, she's gone from winning a listed race in the provinces in France to a Group 3 in Germany, finishing placed in a Group 1 in France. And she really just doesn't know how to run a bad race. What's exciting is that Alex feels she's in as good a form as she's been in all year, which is incredible considering that she started her season in March, you know, with only a short break during lockdown. And she's raced every month since then. So, you know, we absolutely adore her. We're all incredibly proud of everything that she's achieved so far this year. And this may well be her swan song, but we're looking forward to it.
And any slightly less familiar names to look out for on Arc Weekend, Lisa Jane, that you think could run particularly well?
Well, we're also going to make a supplementary entry in the Prix de l'Opera, which André has felt that the filly Fontil Abbey, who won a Group 3 last time, has warranted a supplementary entry. And I would agree 100% with him there. She's very progressive. She's really coming into her form, you know, one of those typical four-year-old fillies that's just starting to blossom at this time of year. She's always shown a bit of class and a good turn of foot. She'll be stepping up in trip, but you know, she's by Jibawi out of the family of Teofilo, and we'd be fairly confident that she can get the trip. But the Opera is always one of the most competitive races on Art Weekend, so you know, we'll be excited to see her run. If she finishes in the first three, that will be fantastic. There's a horse called Sublimis running in the Prix de Cadran on Saturday. He's a Chamarel out of Be Fabulous, who won the Royal Oak. She was a filly that was unraced at the end of her three-year-old year, and André was very keen to keep her in training, and she went on to win Group 1 at 4. So he really knows this family well. He's trained this horse, who's also a four-year-old, particularly with an autumn staying campaign in mind. So while he hasn't won a race for a while, he's definitely progressive and moving up all the time. And I'd hope he can run well on Saturday as well. Other than that, the other runners haven't really been finalised yet. It'll just depend on how they come through their final pieces of work today and tomorrow.
Lisa Jane, thanks for talking to me, and best of luck. And if you do want to get involved, on Twitter, at Au-delà des Pistes.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you.
So my thanks to Lisa Jane. My thanks also to Olivier Pelly. Earlier, Lydia Hislop is still with me. And Lydia, all you have to do now is to give us a tip for today.
Yes, well, my original one is now a non-runner, sadly, so I've been scrabbling around. I'm going to go with Hua Milan, who's at a big price. You can get at 12 to 14 to 1 at the moment, so I'd be advising an each-way tip on that horse, running in the 3 o'clock at Hamilton. She shaped as though a step up in trip is what she wanted when finishing first and then third at Beverley. She wouldn't have been suited by dropping back to an extended mile at Wolverhampton last time. A mile and a half at Hamilton, I think, is the order of the day for her.
Lydia, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you do enjoy this programme, you can rate, review and subscribe, which will make life a lot easier for you on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes and Google. That was Monday, September the 28th. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.